what?
Our levels are crazy today. I don't know if you have heard some of our promos that the talented Chris Duffy has put together for this very radio station as we get close to Pride Parade. It's Pride Month. And Video Out is a partner in Pride Month and responsible for some of these audio and video tapes that have come out. Jordan Reeves on the line with us, the founder of Video Out.
Hey, Jordan.
How are you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Couldn't be better.
I'll tell you, listening to these stories of people and just their coming out stories are fascinating. They're wonderful, and some of them make me cry. So you're doing a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel the same way. It really is incredible to just sit back and listen to the various experiences of people in the community. Like you said, it really does sort of hit the gamut of emotions. And I think that's interesting because so long we've been creating content that really serves people in a time of crisis. So all, you know, there's been incredible work done by organizations like the It Gets Better Project and the Trevor Project and various others. And those are great for people who have are victims of domestic abuse or of violence in school, or who may be considering suicide. We are brand new, so we're excited about partnering alongside of those, but also showing the holistic picture of the community, stories that are joyful and people that have had a great experience coming out, because in fact it did get better, or people who their coming out experience wasn't a big deal at all. So many people say to me, my story doesn't matter, I don't have anything interesting to say. But the truth is, that fact in and of itself is incredible. So I agree with you that they do show the range of emotions, and that is so heartening. That's the point.
Can we talk about your story, Jordan?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I grew up in Hueytown, Alabama. I'm sure you've all heard of it.
Sure.
I've heard of Alabama.
Yeah. I have not, but I've heard of Hueytown.
So Alabama's in the news these days for all the wrong reasons, which I think Alabama's pretty good at, given its history. Hmm. Always being in the news for the wrong reasons. But I grew up there in this town called Hueytown, and it was a really good place to grow up. It was, you know, a close-knit community. Family was first. We were very involved in the social things that the community had to offer, including church. My family's very religious. And it wasn't just one church that we had to choose from. There was a church on every corner, and there must have been at least 50 million corners in Hueytown. There were so many churches. So it felt like everyone knew everyone. It was you get the picture. It was one of those communities.
Yeah.
So I knew that I was gay from a very early age.
How old?
I didn't really know how to. So thinking back, I'll spare you all the details, but thinking back, I remember even before I started school, sort of finding men or other boys and sort of interesting and enticing for some reason. I don't know when, at those times, if I necessarily thought it was a sexual attraction. It was just that when I wanted to play doctor, I wanted to play doctor with the boys. And even growing up in middle school, I took a family trip to Disney World, and I took a whole roll of pictures on 35mm film of boys in Disney World that I just thought were cute. And I was so embarrassed when I went to develop the roll of film with my mom. And I was like, I don't know what I was taking pictures of. It's just, you know, random boys as I was passing through the park. So
Can I just tell you something, Jordan? To this day, if I see a girl walking, and I'm straight, I see a girl walking down the street, and if I like her shoes or her hair or something, I totally take pictures of them, too. I mean, we can still appreciate people of the same sex. So it wasn't really that unusual, I don't think.
No, totally not. And, you know, I think had I not been conditioned to think that there was something wrong with that sort of attraction, it would have been fine. And, you know, maybe I could have expressed it and explored it more deeply as an adolescent. But unfortunately, I somehow already knew that it was bad, whether that's what I had been taught at home or what had been reinforced at school and at church. So the fact that I wasn't interested in girls was an issue, and I knew that very young. So I sort of carried that mentality with me until I was 18 years old, and I finally said, you know what? I can't cry myself to sleep anymore. I can't worry about if I'm ever going to find someone to love, someone that I can love openly. I've got to come out. So I came out to myself, and I started meeting up with guys anonymously online. And, you know, we'd do whatever we would do. And it took me 5 years before I was able to tell anyone as myself, as Jordan, that I am, in fact, a gay man. And that was when I was 23 years old, almost 10 years ago.
How did the family react to that, Jordan?
My brother Jonathan is my biggest fan, my rock, my support. I have to give him all the credit in the world. If it weren't for him, I probably wouldn't be here today. So he encouraged me, and he was so excited. I think he was like, yes, I have a gay brother. This is amazing. And I'm kind of jealous of Jonathan. I wish I had a gay brother now that I know how awesome gay people are.
But, Jordan, just to be clear, you went all those years, and there wasn't a single family member, there wasn't a single friend, there wasn't a single coworker that you could confide in. You just thought it was too risky to tell anybody, huh?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I'm actually really ashamed. So my cousin, Paige, who I'm really close with, and she's out and lovely. She just got engaged to her partner. She told me a few years before I came out that she was a lesbian.
Yeah.
And my response to her was, this is okay. I love you and I support you, but I can't say that I agree. So even until I came out at 23 publicly, I was still denying outwardly what I was really fighting inwardly to accept.
It was labeled as bad in your eyes. It's so sad to me when a kid feels that their thoughts and fears are, quote, bad just because someone doesn't understand them. That breaks my heart.
Yeah, and that is an epidemic today. You know, 55% of all LGBTQ youths feel unsafe in school. Some 70% of them have experienced verbal harassment because of their sexual orientation. And 40% of all LGBTQ homeless youths identify as LGBTQ. So there is a real need for us to wise up and start accepting youth for who they are and not forcing them into these bubbles or these boxes. So
do you think that people are not understanding of this because they don't understand it? Because I just know that if a parent's out there and they're anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ, if you keep talking about that in front of your kids and your kid happens to be gay, they're not going to tell you.
Sure. I think that's probably true most of the time. I also think that there are some courageous young people who sort of buck the system, and they are aware enough and have enough resources where they can stand up to the homophobia. They can stand up to this sort of familial homophobia, something that's so close to home, where the people who are supposed to love and nurture them the most are the ones who are pushing them away the hardest. So there are some youth that say, Mom, Dad, I realize that you don't like gay people, but I'm gay. That's who I am. Take it or leave it. And Dan Savage, who you guys may know, so he says there's an approach that you can take once you feel safe and you have a fallback plan. So don't do anything that's going to harm you personally. But once you feel safe, you can come out to your parents with an ultimatum. You can say, look, it's not fair to me or to you for you to only have part of me. you can either accept all of me or you can have none of me, which I've tried to do several times with my family, but it's a really hard move to make.
I can imagine.
I do think if it's safe and you do have a place to go, a safe house, then that may be a good option for you. There's a story I recorded, a guy named Danny Koyman, who his parents read his journal and found out that he was gay on his 21st birthday, and they kicked him out of the house. He didn't have anywhere to go. He didn't, he was sort of on his own and has been that way ever since. And that was over a decade ago. So for some kids, it's not that easy. They don't have the choice. Thankfully, I did have the choice, even though my parents were reticent. They're still sort of struggling with it in their own way. They love my partner. They love me. They've come around, and I have to give them major props. There's this journey to acceptance, and it's different for every person. So what has taken my parents 50-plus years to sort of cement in their own minds, this sort of far-right conservative Christian ideology, I almost expected them to immediately drop all of that and accept me as a gay man just because I'm their son. But it's a lot more difficult than that. There's a lot of nuance, and there really is a journey. So my advice to people who are coming out in a similar situation with parents who are religious or are conservative like my parents are, I would just say, if you feel like you can give them the ultimatum and that's what you need to do, then maybe you should try it. I couldn't do it. I feel so close and connected, and I love my family. So I've just tried to sort of push them gently over the last 10 years now towards acceptance. And it's a journey, and it's probably going to be a journey for the rest of my life. But I would rather have some semblance of a relationship with my parents than sort of giving them the ultimatum that may end in no relationship at all.
Jordan, you painted a picture earlier of the town you grew up in, Hueytown, Alabama, as being a God-fearing southern town. So all of a sudden you come out. What's the reaction from the community?
So pretty much all of my friends in Hueytown, with the exception of just a handful, my friends Tara and Ashley were my champions. They loved it, but they weren't really what the community was. They stood apart.
Yeah.
I think the community as a whole, where they are all very God-fearing, like you said, they're church-going people, and they have this conservative Christian ideology. So I think most of them loved me because I'm Jordan and I'm their friend and they grew up with me, but they didn't love the fact that I was gay.
Yeah.
And I couldn't accept that. So I moved to Birmingham, and in Birmingham, Alabama, it's, a city of 1.5 million people roughly. And it felt like I had moved to the big city.
Yeah.
Even though it was only 40 minutes away from Hueytown. And there I found a community of people. That's another thing I would say is, no matter where you are, close by, there's going to be a community of LGBTQ people. It may not seem like it. When I was in Hueytown, I felt like I was the only one. I was lost. I didn't know any gay people. I didn't know any people that knew gay people. So I was so far away from the community. But only 40 minutes away from me in Birmingham was this really close-knit, strong, supportive community of LGBTQ people that then I was able to be a part of. And I stayed there for 2 years before I moved to New York City.
But Jordan, help me with this, because I've heard other people in your situation talk about being from small towns where they say, I was probably the only gay person in the small town, but the numbers bear differently. What it means is that there's more closeted people who are just afraid to admit it, right?
Of course, yeah. So some studies show that up to 20% of our population is LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And I would argue that, given the research that's been done since the 1940s, that even more of us rest somewhere on the spectrum. Sexuality is a very fluid thing. It's easy to put ourselves in these bubbles and label ourselves, but it's also smarter to say that I may be straight, but I rest on this spectrum of sexuality. I'd never have sex with another man, but I am able to see that some men who are straight would consider it. The same thing goes for LGBTQ people. Like me, I am attracted to other men. That's who I want to have a sexual relationship with. That's who I want to be partnered with and love. But I could also see how another gay man may be on the spectrum where they would consider having relationships with another woman. And also the binary is confusing because it's not just about relationships between men and women. There's also trans people, intersex people. There's asexual people, aromantic people. There's so many ways to identify yourself that just saying a solid 20% of people are LGBTQ and a lot of them are still closeted is removing the nuance of our community. So there's a lot of people who rest on that spectrum that don't have a vocabulary or just haven't found their own personal way to identify themselves. So it's difficult, but yeah, I think generally speaking, you're right that a lot of people just haven't come out yet. A major example of that is Mayor Koch in New York City back in the 80s or 90s when he was still a prominent political figure, was to everyone in his close personal circle was a gay man.
Yeah.
But publicly, he was still claimed to be heterosexual.
Yeah.
Jordan Reeves is on the line. I just want to reiterate, Jordan Reeves on the line with us, founder of Video Out. And basically, your mission is to give the LGBTQ community a voice, to tell their stories, to be heard. And videoout.org is where you can go for more information. Watch some videos because they really are worth seeing, to watch other people's stories. How else are you making sure that voices are being heard, Jordan?
Yeah, so we are... apart from recording the stories, which anybody can do, you can upload your story right to the website. And we encourage everyone to record their story. Right now, there's across all media, there's sort of this dominance of the white male perspective. So we want everyone, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a trans person, women, we want everyone to come, however you identify. Can't stress that enough. So this Video Out really is for everybody. We're also launching this year our editorial program. So just as important as giving a face to the stories that sort of celebrate the diversity of our community, we want to give everyone an opportunity to talk about the broad spectrum of ideas that are interesting to them. So this weird phenomenon in LGBTQ media is that just like the white male perspective is dominant across all media, sex and celebrity are two topics that are dominant in LGBTQ media. But our community is interested in a lot more than that, and there's a lot of topics that should be discussed. So people who are disproportionately affected by income inequality or housing and homelessness or healthcare, even drug users. We want drug users that are experiencing difficulties or are in recovery or maybe people who are still actively using to talk about the issues that they're experiencing. And that goes for anybody or anything. If it's a topic that's interesting to the LGBTQ community, no matter who you are, we want you to write about it. So that's your editorial program. And then next year, we're launching an annual summit, which at this point, we don't have a lot of details, but I'm excited to talk about it because I think it's going to be great. We're going to gather the leading thinkers and doers in our community and gather them for a week-long summit. We're going to actively solve problems and challenges, systemic challenges that face our community, like education. So let me ask you guys, think about some of the books that you read
when
you were in school.
Yeah.
They sort of all reinforce this heteronormative narrative,
mm-hmm.
whether it was Dick and Jane when you were learning to read or Romeo and Juliet when you were in 10th grade. Not a lot of literature we read in school gave room for the minority story or for LGBTQ narratives. So we would like this summit to sort of tackle topical issues like education or healthcare or so on and so forth, and then give the people that attend the conference a year's worth of actionable items to walk away, tackle those challenges, and then come back a year later and say, here's what we were able to accomplish. We've effectively changed the curriculum for K-12 schools in the United States because we identified the influencers and the people of authority. We talked about it at this conference, and then we went away with a plan, and we effected that change. So those are the library, the editorial program, and the summit. Those are the three things that Video Out is going to be doing over the next few years. And we, again, encourage all voices, all people to be involved.
You know, we're more the same than different. I mean, as humans, we all need oxygen, we need food, we need water, and we all need love, really, to flourish. Mm. And granted, some of us like Snickers more than Milky Way. I mean, come on, let's face it. It's so nice to meet you, Jordan.
It's good to meet you guys, too. Thanks so much. I really appreciate this time.
Jordan, I just need to ask really quickly, you do see the progress, I hope. I mean, when we were kids, the idea that marriage between two men or two women was a possibility, it seemed a billion miles away, and yet it's happened in our lifetime. So even though there's a lot that needs to be done, you do see the progress, don't you?
You know what? I am incredibly thankful for the legacy of LGBTQ elders, for people who've lived in the past that have helped pave the way, this community, for all the things that they've accomplished. And we couldn't have done it without our allies either. So yeah. People that have had the back of the community. That said, and I do appreciate all the work and I do see the progress. That said, 2016 was the deadliest year on record for the LGBTQ community. Even if you remove the Pulse shooting, it was still because of hate crime,
yeah,
and violence against the community. There's a lot of work that's still to be done. So we don't have time to sit back, relax, and enjoy the progress that we've made yet. There's still too much work to be done. So while we can take a day to celebrate when we have a victory,
mm-hmm,
the next day we've got to get back out, we've got to work, we've got to pound the pavement, and we can't rest until full equality is imagined. It'd be like saying, hey, women, you got the vote, so now why do you want equal pay? Be glad that you got the vote. So I do appreciate the progress, and I do see it. And I think, in fact, it has gotten better. But there's still so much to be done, and that's why Video Out exists. That's why all of these other organizations who are doing good work for the LGBTQ community exist. And that is why Pride is celebrated each month. Pride is political. It's not about flaunting yourself. It's not about marching in a parade. It's about being visible and about being vocal and about making a point that we are LGBTQ and we demand equality.
Well said.
You're
Thanks.
Doing a great job, Jordan, really. Thank you so much. Founder of Video Out, of course, a partner in Pride Month, and you can go to videoout.org, watch the awesome stories, or upload your own. It's a pleasure to meet you, Jordan.
It's so good to meet you guys. Have a great day. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jordan. Take care. It's Jordan Reeves. We'll take a quick break. In a little bit, we'll close things out. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.